Welcome, everybody. Great to see you here today. I'm Craig Anderson. My wife, Chris, is here. And if you haven't met us before, we were the founding pastors of this church. And it's our joy and privilege to share with you today just a little bit about our church, how it began, and some of the history of it. As we get underway this morning, God wants to do something special in our lives. Would you pray with me just now? Thanks, Holy Spirit, that you're here in this place. Not only today, but every Sunday, every time we meet together, your Holy Spirit comes to touch our lives, and we open our hearts to you today, Lord, and we say, come and fill us and overflow us with your grace and your goodness in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, as you know, it's Celebration Month, and all through this month, we're going to be saying, wow, God is so good. We're going to be celebrating all that he's done in your life, in my life, in all of us, and what God has done in and through our church in the last 30 years. And we want to value the church and what God is doing through the church and has done through the church. Here's just a couple of thoughts about the things that the people of this church have accomplished in the last 30 years. Well, first of all, we can't neglect the whole idea of souls saved, miracles and healings, families restored, so many people's lives changed through interaction with Jesus in this local church. What began 30 years ago is continuing powerfully in many different ways. I don't know how many. It's probably thousands. It's been online. Who knows how many thousands have been impacted because God used all of us together to touch lives. Many people here, we've seen miracles of healing take place that are staggering. Lives transformed, families restored. This church has always had an incredible youth ministry. Lots and lots of young people in the high schools around this area, lives have been touched by the power and the love of God. Lots of them actually never came here on Sunday, but were coming to youth ministry and getting their lives impacted, taking the message home, and today, who knows where they are all around the world. In universities, we've had an impact there in the early days, preaching and sharing at La Trobe Uni, and following that, a lot of work with Red Frogs. If you don't know anything about Red Frogs, Google it. It's an amazing ministry that our movement started and reaches university students and year 12 students who are on their final week called schoolies, and God's impacting their lives right around Australia and in many countries around the world right now. Police chaplaincy. Our church has been involved in police chaplaincy in our local area here for over 18 years, and it's a way that we provide pastoral care for our police members. I tell you what, it's a tough job being a police officer. And amazing at what they have to go through at times. And sometimes they really need someone to talk to. We've been able to provide that for them. We've had family of violence awareness dinners here in our church with the White Ribbon organization, attended by a large number of police from the local area. And this region we live in right now, Whittlesea, normally is the second highest numbers of family violence in the whole state of Victoria. It is a huge issue. Our police spend about 50% of their time and energy dealing with family violence issues. But our church was part of the answer in providing dinners where we talked to people from the school arena, from business arena, and from sporting clubs, all different kinds of groups in our community to share with them about family violence and how we can do lots of things to change it. We had a community kitchen here for 12 years, and thanks to Alex and many, many other workers, we fed literally thousands and thousands of people, and every Tuesday having meals for them and providing food hampers and food parcels as well, touching our community. Lots of disabled people were coming to our community kitchen in the last few years it was operating. Christmas hampers every year, still operating now. Over 500 families being impacted with the love of God and the kindness and the goodness of the people of this church saying, we love you, we want to help you at Christmas time. Global Care has been part of our movement, our organization, where our movement reaches out to the community in times of disaster, whether it's floods or bushfires or whatever's happening. And when the Black Saturday bushfires were happening in Victoria here. It's only 40 minutes from here to King Lake, where 150 people's lives were lost in that fire, over 4,000 homes destroyed. This church was vitally involved in the restoration program in that area for 2 full years. Global Care brought people from all over Australia to help. Lots of people in our church were putting people up in their homes and spending time up in the fire region at King Lake there, just helping people through that very, very difficult time. And now we have a great partnership with Plenty River College School. And Veronica, who just shared a minute ago, is the principal of the school. And she and Paul are a fantastic couple, passionately on fire for Jesus, building a school for students who have learning difficulties, perhaps are on the spectrum and facing other difficult issues, who haven't made it in normal high school, but coming to the school that operates in this building on a weekly basis, they're finding a new place where they can learn and develop their life, and some tremendous results have taken place in that area. And I feel like a great partnership is in existing there between the school and the church, working together to see young lives changed. What a great thing, amen? It just goes on and gets better. We value vision. Our vision is reaching Melbourne for Christ, introducing Melbourne to Jesus. Our vision is to see lives transformed and changed. And I want to share with you today about how much we value teamwork. It's about everybody involved, everybody doing what God's called them to do, to walk together and to see our lives changed and our community impacted for the gospel. And I want to read a verse for you this morning that kind of captures the thought of what we're doing today and right through this month of March as we think about the blessing that God has been to us in the last 30 years. And we're reading from Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. Only pay attention and watch yourselves closely so that you do not forget the things which your eyes have seen, and they do not depart from your heart all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and your grandchildren, impressing these things on their mind and penetrating their heart with these truths, especially the day when you stood before the Lord at Mount Horeb, that's Mount Sinai. And the Lord said to me, "Assemble the people to me, and I will let them hear my words, so that they may learn to fear me with awe-filled reverence and profound respect all the days they live on the land, and so that they may teach their children." It's exciting to see and understand about history, isn't it? Chris and I have had some great holidays, and we often are in places and we find out what happened in that place in the history going past. Anybody got an interest in history? Sometimes I'm amazed at how much tourism centers around that whole idea of what's been happening in this place over the last few hundred years or something like that. So let me share with you just a few brief stories this morning so that we can celebrate. And as we share these things, there'll be different things I want us to celebrate this morning, and I'll share with you in a moment how to do that. On the 19th of April, 1957, a young lady in the city of Rockhampton was giving birth to a gorgeous little girl baby whose name was Christine Ann Patterson. She's sitting with us here today. As that was happening, in Sydney, another young woman was going into labour, and she gave birth to a little boy baby whose name was Craig McLeod Anderson. And God looked down from heaven, and he said to the angel, "See those two? I'm going to bring them together." And so today we can celebrate calling. And as we go through these stories today, I'm going to share a word about different things. And when I say this, today we're going to celebrate, and I'll say what it is, and then I want you to go like this: praise God. Okay? You lift your hand up and you go, "Praise God." Okay, so today we're celebrating the calling of God. Praise God. Amen. Amen. So these two got together through high school. university. Chris studied teaching. I studied electrical engineering. In my third year of university, I went along to a place in the university where the church in Brisbane was running a service, preaching, music. I happened to be in the same room and playing 500, a card game. And I heard all this singing and I thought, I don't know what that's about. Because I'd never had any church background in my life. And then they preached a message. And I thought, whoa, these people are a bit excited. And then they swarmed over to share with us at the end. One of my best friends in my college class was a Christian. And he said to me, my parents go to this church. Would you like to go? I'll come with you. And I said, oh, okay, I'll go along, see what's going on. And I walked into a church called Christian Outreach Center in Brisbane. It was the beginning of our movement in 1977. At that stage, that church was only 3 years old, was already about 800 people in there. There was a tremendous move of God at that place. People being saved, healed, the power of God, people falling under the power. Miracles happening, lots of amazing things. Testimonies that day, I walked into that church. People had been set free from alcoholism, drug addiction, marriages restored. I'm thinking, I've never heard about all this stuff before. I went home and I started to pray, God, if you're real, show yourself to me. That was an amazing week for me. The second week, Chris and I, who were going out together, not married yet, went to that church. And I walked forward and gave my life to Christ. Very short time after that, Chris gave her life to Christ as well. And God radically changed our lives. Straight away, they said, Chris, you're doing teachers' college. Can you do Sunday school? We're only Christians like 2 or 3 months, and they've got Chris doing Sunday school. And they said to me, oh, you can come too if you want. We did Sunday school. We started leading a teenage group as well, involved in leadership. We started involved in young people in our youth group in that church. That church was a single church, but the very night that we got saved, they started a new church in Nambour, just up the road, as the first church plant of our movement, which has now got around 130 churches in Australia and over 2,000 churches worldwide. It's called International Network of Churches. It was called Christian Outreach Center, changed its name about 8 years ago. But in that church that we were part of in those early days in Brisbane, it was like the mother church, the headquarters of all that God was doing. And at that time, God changed our lives radically. And today we celebrate salvation. Praise God! Very soon, we got involved in street work. That is to say, on Friday nights, we'd gather all our young people together. We'd go into the city. We would march down the streets with our guitars, singing Christian songs. And then we would break up into pairs and witness to people in the street. To train us, both Chris and I are involved, to train us to do this, we went through several classes. And they taught us basically the message of the gospel and how to share it. And at that time, they shared about how hell is a real place. That if you do not know Jesus, if you do not have a faith in Christ, that's your destiny. And I remember those verses from Revelation where it says that they cried out for eternity in torment. And I understood also about how incredible heaven is, filled with joy. There's no more tears, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more sickness. Heaven is beautiful and amazing. And it came real in my heart at that time, thinking, I don't want anyone in Australia to go to hell. I want to do anything I can, everything I can, to help Australians find Jesus like I have found him. I beg God, can I quit my study, please? At university, I want to do something for you. And God spoke to my heart and he said, no. keep on going. So I did. I finished my degree as an engineer. And then I said, God, now can I go to Bible college? Can I do something for you? And God said, get a job. Can you hear the voice of God when he says what you don't want to hear? But that passion for souls came into Chris and my heart and has never gone away. It motivated us and still motivates us to this day to try and reach every single person we can with the love of Jesus. I don't want any person, especially my family, especially my loved ones, especially people in my street, everybody I know, I don't want anybody to go to hell. It is a passion that drives my thinking, my prayer life, my day-to-day routine, everything about me, every day that I live. We celebrate a vision for souls. Praise God. In 1993, right throughout our movement, there was a fresh move of God. It was supernatural. It happened on the same day, right across our movement. We had pastors calling us from all the regions saying, you'll never guess what happened in our church yesterday. The power of God came. People were laid out on the ground. There was holy laughter. There were people seeing visions. We're going, yeah, it happened here too. And through that year, just the most amazing experience of God's power and love and supernatural things happening. We had people who were laid out under the power of God for 24 hours. We had to carry some people home from the church service and put them in their bed at home because they were out to it in the spirit. Can you believe that? We had people seeing visions and amazing things that they saw at those times. It reignited passion for our nation, for God's work to be flowing through us and do great things. And throughout that year, as Chris and I were praying, we just felt like we wanted to dedicate ourselves afresh to God. Yes, we'd been on staff for 13 years. We'd been serving in a church. We'd given everything we could for the gospel, but we felt like we wanted to start over again and do something more for God. And we said, God, do whatever you want with us. Take us wherever you want. We'd been to the Ukraine a few times on missions trips. We'd been to all different places around New Zealand, the Pacific and whatever. But we said, God, send us anywhere, whatever you want. And as we were coming up to the end of the year, it was Christmas Eve, I think, and our senior pastors at that time, David McDonald, said to Chris, oh, we've asked a couple to go to Melbourne, and they turned us down. And Chris said, we'll go. And I said, what? Melbourne? Like, it wasn't that attractive when you live in Brisbane. Serious. But just then, something happened. And we decided we're going to go to ministry training school, which was right through the month of January. And we started to pray, God, whatever you want for us, we'll go to China. We'll go to Ukraine. We'll go to South America, all these places where our movement was working. Whatever you want, we'll go anywhere. And God put southern states on our heart because the movement very strong in Queensland and New South Wales, not so strong, Victoria, Tasmania, South Australia. But as we prayed, God just laid upon our hearts, we need to go to Canberra or Melbourne or Adelaide or Hobart, one of these. And as we kept praying, God just put Melbourne on our hearts. We arrived here on the 1st of March, 1994. It was the coldest day in the history of Melbourne on that particular March day. It was 0 degrees, actually. And we thought, wow, it's really cold for March. We stayed with some friends. We found a building to run church in, which was in Greensboro. We found a house to rent. And we began. One family came with us from Brisbane and a young lady who played keys. And At that time, we knew that God had called us to come here and start a church, and we have a passion to reach this city and this state for Christ. We celebrate destiny. Praise God. Where's the hands? Come on, guys. Praise God. Amen. We celebrate the destiny that God has for each and every one of us. And our beginnings were in Greensboro there. We had a building we rented for 1 year until it filled up. And during that year, we had Dave McDonald come down. He was the chairman of our movement in Australia here. A great man of God, still very involved in ministry. And he prophesied over us something that we've often spoken about here. And he says, I have given you the 12 tribes, and I will cause you to be fruitful in this city. And we're thinking, 12 tribes? Wow, what does that mean? It means we're going to reach a lot of people. But we realized when we got here, Melbourne has people from all around the world living here. The most multicultural city in Australia. And as we moved into this region where we are, this Whittlesea region, at that time it was 10% Italian, 10% Greek, 10% Macedonian, and lesser percentages moving ahead. Now, in our current day, we've got 10% Arabic, 10% Indian, and then lesser of the other nations. But in Whittlesea, only 50% speak English at home. And we're in a multicultural nation and city, aren't we? And God said a word to us as a local church. I will give you the 12 tribes, amen? I know there's more than 12 nationalities in Melbourne, but let's go for 12, amen? And so we began these things and moved from the Greensboro venue to Bundoora. We spent 3 years renting in Bundoora there. Then we found a property on the corner of Centenary Drive and Plenty Road, which is now a Seventh-day Adventist church. We moved in there, and at the time, it was a doctor's surgery, but they couldn't find anybody to use it. They were trying to rent it out, and we said, can we lease it? And they said, it's $100,000 a year. And we're going, what? We can't afford that. And they said, well, that's what it is. And we said, how about you let us rent it for $400 a week and we will take care of it, mow the grass, make it look good. If you find a lease tenant, we'll move out on a month's notice. And they go, okay, that's a good deal. We stayed there for 2 years like that. Nobody wanted it. Then they gave up and they said, we're going to sell it. So by the grace of God, we bought it for $400,000. Sold it 10 years later for $1.2 million. God provides for his church. And we moved into this building in May 2010, so nearly 14 years ago. And through that period, for the 10 years we're in that building in Mill Park, we were already experiencing not enough room in that location. So we tried to buy land. There were 6 different land deals that we entered into trying to buy property around this area. And every time something went wrong, wasn't working. One of them, it was the biggest deal ever, was the corner of Plenty Road and McDonald's Road here, and where the A-Mart furniture place is. That was all empty, and it was going to cost $15 million. And not this church alone buying it, but our whole movement working together. I spent 1 day a week for 6 months on that deal, but it didn't come to pass. Finally, one of the local agents said, I'm building a building in Danaher Drive. I think it'd be great for a church. Do you want to have a look at it? And we thought, this is perfect because it's got a massive car park next door under the power lines. It's not near any residential places to make noise and people get upset about. So we entered into an agreement before it was even built that, yes, we would lease this premises here. And when we were getting ready to move in, they just gave us a shell of a building. It was only just this concrete walls, a roof 8 meters above the ground, concrete floor, nothing inside, only the toilets. And we had to completely fit it out. And all that work was done by people in this church, painting it, putting the electricals in, putting the ceilings in, putting the stage in, all that sort of stuff happening, and arriving at Danaher Drive. And through that period there, God putting a vision on our heart to reach Melbourne for Christ. So we celebrate having a vision for Melbourne. Praise God. As we kept building this church, we also had a vision to plant other churches. And it is really the vision of our movement. Our movement has kept on planting churches around Australia and, of course, now around the world in about 50 different nations. We have either missions work or churches planted. And our church has been very involved in missions work. We have put a lot of finance into the Middle East through Pastor Fakhri Hanna and supporting his work in Egypt and about six other nations in the Middle East. Our church has supported church growing, church planting in the Pacific area because we supported the Solomon Islands Bible College for many years financially. We supported Wycliffe Bible Translators in New Guinea and many, many other aspects of missions work this church has supported. In our church planting, our most successful church plant has been Liberty Church, which is in Epping right now. They're part of our movement. They're part of our work together. They started in 2001. They're doing a fantastic job. And so wonderful church plant. We also tried planting a church in Greece and in Port Melbourne, in St Kilda and in South Yarra. Those churches didn't complete the journey, but it's because it's a tough job planting churches. It's a tough job being a church planter. But church planting is our passion, and it will never stop being our passion because we have a vision to see our city transformed, and it'll never be by one church, amen? And so we celebrate our movement vision. Praise God. So we've had this opportunity now to reach other language groups, and we did have a Tamil service in our location in Mill Park for a while there on a Sunday night. We're having around 100 people in a Tamil service. That one finished up after a while. And then our Arabic service started here 4 years ago this month. And our Persian service not long after that, speaking in the Farsi language. We also had a Tamil Sinhalese service on a Sunday night for a little while. That's no longer operating at this time either. But now we have, in this locality here, a really great English service on Sunday morning, a really great Arabic service on Sunday afternoon, and a fantastic Farsi service every Saturday night. God is reaching lots of people through this local church, amen? And we celebrate introducing Melbourne to Jesus. Praise God. And none of this is about me. It's not about a few people. It's about the team. It's about everybody working together and believing God and supporting one another and being part of a great generation that's raising up a passion for God to do great things. Approximately 6.5 years ago, we had a great talk to Dan and Meg Power, and we said, "Hey guys, just want you to pray about this. Maybe you could take this church over when we retire." And they had to pray about it, and they just felt maybe this is us. God spoke to their hearts, and we began a beautiful journey that lasted 5 years of preparing them to take this church on. And for Chris and I think it's probably one of the best decisions we ever made in our whole life is to transition to Daniel and Megan Power. We're so proud of them, so excited about who they are as ministry people, leadership people, confident, anointed by God, strong leaders doing great things and facilitating the vision of what God wants to do. We celebrate next generation success. Praise God. You're part of that today. Maybe you only arrived a short time ago, but you've jumped on board the train that's heading towards glory. You've jumped on board a church where people are going to work together to see great things happen. I want to say thank you to each and every person who's been part of this journey for the last 30 years. We've got people like Bob and Rita who've been here nearly the whole 30 years. We've got many others who've been here 20 years or more. And thank you to each and every one of you. Thank you for what you've sown in, how you've prayed, how you've been part of what God is doing. And I could never have done it without Chrissy. She is my strength. She is my helper. She is my partner in this. And everything that God has been able to do through us as a couple is because God has helped us to walk together and be a couple that would just allow God to change our lives and be part of what He wants to do. You have an opportunity today to be part of what God wants to do. And I want to ask you today, would you do it today? Even if it's the 100th time or the 1,000th time to say, I surrender, God, to what you want for my life. I surrender to be able to serve you, to walk hand in hand with you, to let you take my life and do something with it. I remember hearing this beautiful story many, many years ago about that amazing man of God called Billy Graham. He was saved at a young age. I think it was like 16 or 18 or something. And not long after that, he was in a church service where the preaching was about the call of God. And he disappeared. No one could find him after the service. And they went looking out. It was pouring rain. And they found him lying face down in a muddy puddle. And they heard him pray these words, Lord, do something with my life. At the time, that probably seemed like just a pretty ordinary prayer. But we know what God did with Billy Graham's life. Probably reached over 2 million souls for Christ throughout his preaching career. God, do something with my life. Something with your life. If you want to pray that prayer with me today, would you close your eyes and bow your head with me today? Lord Jesus, we come to you as a people who have understood how good you are, how amazing you are, how wonderful heaven is, how terrible hell is, how glorious your love is. And it transforms us and changes us and sets us free and gives us a passion to say, God, do something with my life. We say that prayer together today, Lord. Do something with my life. Put your hand upon me. Set me free from all my past, my problems, my sins, my hurts, anything that's broken me. Heal me, Jesus, and prepare me for something greater that I might walk hand in hand with you for the rest of my days. Holy Spirit, breathe upon us, each and every one of us, and do great things with us. And raise this church up and do more and more through it to touch this city, this state, and this world for Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. While every head is bowed and every eye is closed for you today, maybe you weren't quite aware of how terrible hell is, how amazing heaven is, and you realize today that you really need to make sure that you're going to heaven. And to take that step, all you need to do is to believe that Jesus died for you and that he rose again from the dead, and you will be saved. And if you want to make that step today and take that decision to receive Christ into your life, to forgive your sins, would you raise your hand? I want to pray for you right now. Jesus will come into your heart and he will give you eternal life. If that's you, would you raise your hand right now? I'd love to pray for you today, and let today be your day to begin your journey to know Jesus. If you're watching online, please respond to us by emailing hello@infinitychurch.org. Tell us you're making that decision. Is there one here today that would raise their hand and say, yes, I want to know Jesus? Father, today we thank you that we are born again. We are saved, and we pray, God, that you'd give us opportunity to share this love of God with many, many others as we journey through life. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. We celebrate our church. Amen. Praise God.